Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 6 April 2021, Tuesday class. We'll be sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings, Teachings from the Adapted Verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 178. We'll continue from there. So as usual, we are here to train our mind to be aware, to be mindful, to be within the silent state. When you are silent without thought, that is your true mind, that is your meditative mind. So if you have this understanding, then it's very easy to meditate. To meditate, you just relax body and mind completely. Just let everything go. No need to think, no need to know, no need to do anything. Just be at ease. Silence your mind. Develop the peace within. When you silence your mind, you just relax, maintain awareness and don't think. That's why the four support come in, very important. The first support is to relax. Relax into all mind state that arise. Just relax into it. Relax body and mind. Completely relax at ease. Then silence your mind. Maintain awareness. Just aware. Finish. Aware. Finish. The awareness can be aware of your whatever sense or contact. Aware of sound. Aware of vibration. Aware of any tactile feeling. Aware of any contact between your awareness and that thing that it may contact. So if you have an object of meditation, you can stay there aware of your in and out breath. Or you can just stay somewhere around the heart area and silence your mind to feel. As you feel, you don't think. As you feel, you maintain awareness. Awareness. The awareness will pick up whatever that is sensitive, that is within your capacity to feel them, to be aware of them. So when you train yourself in this way, relax, maintain awareness, the third support is 24 hours for as long as you can. Technically it's 24 hours, but for as long as you can is good enough. So relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can to develop the meditative mind, to allow your mundane mind or thinking mind to slow down until you can realize your true mind. Then you will realize meditation is very easy. You only need to relax, silence your mind, maintain awareness. Then you can slowly experience how your sankhara activity or heedless thinking slow down and become very quiet and very still. Then you will realize your true mind. When all the sankhara activity of thinking slow down and stop, you will experience that stillness within. The sudden shift of consciousness, you become aware that everything has become very quiet, very still. This is the silent mind, the meditative mind, your inner nature's awareness. That you're just aware. It doesn't do anything. It's just aware. And stay with the awareness. Whatever is aware of, stay with aware. Finish. Aware. Finish. So keep on maintaining the awareness. until this awareness becomes very stable, very quiet, very still, to realize your true mind, which is the meditative mind. So this is how you train. Because the main purpose of meditation is to develop this ability to be heedful. To be heedful, we need to be ever mindful. Plus, constantly meditative. So to be ever mindful, we must train our mind to be mindful first. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. The mind that is without thought is already aware. We don't have to try to be aware. We don't have to force our mind to become quiet. We don't have to focus, concentrate to develop the quiet, one-pointedness mind. That one is a conditioned state, it's not a free mind. So what we want is a free mind that is naturally quiet without thought. Initially, for those who have not developed the training and the understanding, it's not easy for you to do it. But if you are patient, you can do it. And the reason why most people cannot do it is because they realize their mind thinks a lot. They are very heedless. The reason being, during the normal waking hours when you are living your life, you have not developed the ability to be mindful or to be aware. You are most of the time heedless because you lack the five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. So when you lack this five, the mental hindrance, the opposite five, takes over. When this mental hindrance of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, doubt, skeptical doubt, and what they call restlessness of mind. These are the mind states that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, or inner mindfulness. You don't have the ability because of this mental hindrance. So in order to overcome this, you must either have the opposite by spiritual faculty developed until it's very stable so that it can overcome this by mental hindrance. Without the hindrance, your mind becomes peaceful, quiet, still, naturally. And that is your true mind. That is your silent mind, your meditative mind. So all of meditation is to realize that. But there are many people who cannot develop the stability of the five spiritual faculty, and yet they want to meditate. So these are the people who will have a lot of thinking before they start meditation. So this heedless thinking, conditioned by the five mental hindrance, prevents the mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness and inner awareness. So when you understand this, you will understand why a lot of meditation teachers or cultivators, they cannot just silence their mind and meditate. So they need something to anchor their mind so that this mind is not heedlessly lost in thought. They need the object of meditation or a method or technique to meditate to anchor their mind. That's how method and technique comes about. That's how meditation object comes about. So what you need to understand is all these are just skillful means to train the mind in sati, to anchor the mind so that you can be mindful of the object of meditation, mindful of whatever method or technique they are using. That is how they train their mind. they create an anchor. The anchor in their mind, so that it's not heedlessly lost in thought. Then they have a series of instruction for you to train the mind. Most of it, if you have done it correctly, is to train your mind in mindfulness. So what the Buddha taught is anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. That one is the correct way to train. The other one is the rising and falling of the abdomen, but their instructions are not clear. They use the word note. Actually, you don't note. You develop awareness. But most people's awareness are not stable, not refined, not sensitive enough to be able to be aware of the rise and fall of the abdomen. You can feel that. You can also feel your heartbeat. It's no different. There any vibration within your form and mind, within your entire physical body. You can also feel them when you have stabilized your mindfulness. So this is how you develop your meditation. But the faster way is no need to use any object of meditation unless you have develop that training before and you are used to it, then you go back to your object of meditation. Otherwise, the fastest way is like I always teach you, relax body and mind, silent everything, maintain awareness, that's it, to stabilize the awareness nature. The moment you are relaxed without thought, the awareness is there. So stay with the awareness until it becomes very stable. And use that to meditate. We are coming to the next adapted verse of this Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. There is one Dhamma door called the Infinite Meaning Dhamma door, which allows bodhisattvas to readily attain Bodhi. It has always been the ultimate truth that all things are empty. This is a very important truth. All things are empty and still in nature and appearances. So this one is in the spiritual sense. Otherwise people will argue, how can this solid table, all these solid things be empty? But if you understand the empty nature of existence and all phenomena, they are there, and all things, they are basically with these characteristics of emptiness and stillness. The true nature is stillness, tranquility. There is nothing. So I read again, it has always been the ultimate truth that all things are empty and still in nature and appearances. So this one is in the spiritual understanding sense. Okay. The Sutra of Infinite Meaning or Wu Liang Yi Jing states, at that time, great magnificent Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, and the 80,000 Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, having finished the verse in praise of the Buddha, asked the Buddha, World Honored One. So this is the title given to Sammasambuddha, World Honored One. We 80,000 Bodhisattvas now would like to ask about the Dhamma of the Tathagata. So Tathagata is another name for the Buddha. Tathagata comes from the word tatata. Tatata is suchness. Tathagata is a person who is an expert in suchness. We do not know whether the World Honored One will mercifully honor us by listening to our question. The Buddha told great magnificent Bodhisattva and the 80,000 Bodhisattva, good. Good man, You know well that this is the time. You may ask any question. Before long, the Tathagata will enter Parinibbana, so that no one will have any doubt remaining after I enter Parinibbana. Whatever you want to ask, you may ask. The first chapter of this sutta, the chapter on virtue, describes how before the Buddha began expounding the Sutra of Infinite Meanings, great magnificent Bodhisattva led the 80,000 Bodhisattva present at the Dhamma assembly to praise Sakyamuni Buddha's virtue. After praising him, great magnificent Bodhisattva saw that all who were present were still and unmoving in body and mind, and were joyously waiting for the Buddha to expound the Dhamma further and more deeply. Thus, in the beginning of the second chapter on expounding the Dhamma, great magnificent Bodhisattva requested a teaching from the Buddha on behalf of all Bodhisattvas. Well, honored one, we, the 80,000 plus people who are present here, are already immersed in the Dhamma of the Tathagata, but we seek a teaching to let us penetrate it even more deeply. Would the world-honored one compassionately reveal this to us? So this request was very formal and very important, because it is very rare indeed to be able to come into contact with a real Sammasambuddha. Because Sammasambuddha that come into existence are very rare. So if you have the condition to meet up with one, you would have been very, very blessed if you have the understanding. Even for us as living beings, if we can be born as a human being during the time of the Buddha Sasana, where the teachings of the Buddha are still around, we are already considered very blessed, very lucky. So this era, we are only about 2600 years after the Buddha's Parinibbana. It was predicted by the Buddha, the Dhamma of Sakyamuni will last for 5,000 years if he has not introduced the Bhikkhuni order. But because he introduced the Bhikkhuni order, it will be shortened by 500 years. So it will be left with 4,500 years. So we are over the half point already. So another 1,900 years to go, approximately. So those beings who can take birth during this period of the Buddha's dispensation or sasana are still considered very blessed and very lucky. So you must count your good blessing and diligently, with faith, cultivate sincerely to progress along the path of Dhamma, to realize this profound teaching, to understand this teaching. I will read on. The Buddha was genuinely happy to know that these Bodhisattvas could understand his heart and mind, and that they already aspire to deepen their understanding of the Dhamma. So he responded, he said, good man, you know well that this is the time to request. This was to praise the Bodhisattva for knowing that they had to seize upon this golden opportunity or moment to ask for teachings. They knew that when the Buddha began to teach the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, the first part of the Lotus Sutta, It meant that he would not remain in the human realm much longer. Means his time for parinibbana is soon. For every Buddha shares the same path. And when the Buddhas of the past began to expound the Lotus Sutta, they were close to entering parinibbana. At this moment, the Buddha saw how reverent and diligent these bodhisattvas were. While already immersed in the Dhamma, they still wanted to seize the moment to request further teaching to deepen their understanding. Thus, he indicated that he would fulfill their request for the Dhamma by saying, "The Buddha Dhamma is profound. If you have any question, quickly ask. Do not wait till after I have entered Parinibbana. Otherwise, your doubt will remain in your heart." He responded to the question lightly, but the listener still felt sad at the thought of his impending departure. This dialogue helped us feel how close the Buddha and Bodhisattvas were and how well they understood each other. We can see the love and the care within this Dhamma family. So great magnificent Bodhisattva and the 80,000 Bodhisattvas present seize this opportunity to ask the Buddha, "What is the method Bodhisattvas should use to most quickly comprehend the principle of this world? What door can they enter to immediately reach the call of the teaching and truly give of themselves for the sake of all people or humanity or living beings?" The Buddha answered them, "There is one Dhamma door that allows Bodhisattvas to readily attain Anuttara Samya Sambodhi, means Sammasambuddhahood. Bodhisattvas who learn this Dhamma would readily attain Anuttara Samya Sambodhi. This Dhamma door is called the infinite meaning Dhamma door. Infinite meaning arises from the one Dhamma. The one Dhamma contains infinite meaning. If Bodhisattva put their hearts into deeply penetrating this Dhamma, then they will be able to understand the principle of how all things in this universe or this world come into being through the conversion of causes and conditions. Thus, this Dhamma is infinite. It is inseparable from all things and truly inconceivable. That is the extent of the limitless Dhamma." So they have to use this word like infinite meaning. Thus, this Dhamma is infinite. It is inseparable from all things and truly inconceivable. Therefore, it is called infinite meaning. So this is to introduce you to the title and explain to you what this teaching is all about. Yeah, it covers all aspects of life, existence, and creation. How everything starts and how everything becomes what it is and how finally everything will end. So this sutra of infinite meaning is a very powerful sutra. Anuttara Samyat Sambohi translate to unsurpassed universal and perfect enlightenment means the enlightenment of a Sammasambuddha. So this Dhamma Dao allows Bodhisattva to quickly attain the unsurpassed universal perfect enlightenment. Perfect enlightenment requires having faith in the right Dhamma and the path to enlightenment, which is the Bodhi path. As long as we have faith in the correct teaching, we will naturally develop wisdom. That's the reason why sadha, faith, is very important. Once we have developed the root of wisdom and the root of faith, when we put the teachings into practice, we will gain even more realization and diligently progress. on the bodhisattva path. So this is very true. Eh? Mm. That's why you need faith to develop the wisdom. Then you need to be sincere. And you need to persevere or cultivate diligently to realize and progress along the bodhisattva path. Therefore, the Buddha tells us that if we had given rise to bodhisattva aspiration and are walking the bodhisattva path, we must go among people to practice or cultivate the teachings of infinite meaning. So this teaching is very important, Wu Liang Yi Jing. Then infinite Dhamma Dao will readily appear in front of us. We cannot simply chant the Buddha's name and expect to go to the Western land of ultimate bliss, nor can we rely solely on sitting meditation to liberate us from the three realms. Everyone has different afflictions, but afflictions are in fact bohi. This is very true. If you understand this, my nature sattu you. Huh? Affliction are in fact bohi. That's why when you understand the Dhamma is very beautiful, it's very wonderful, very profound. Mm. So people who can't understand, they will have doubt. How can affliction be bohi? Affliction is affliction. Bohi is bohi. But when you really understand, affliction is really bohi. Because without wisdom, you cannot awaken to that affliction. So once affliction has been understood, bohi arises at the same time. Because without bohi, without wisdom, affliction cannot be understood. So that is why the Buddha said, but afflictions are in fact bohi. Through understanding different affliction and experiencing different kind of suffering, we can see through the appearances of the world and understand that the appearances, the people and the self that we perceive are all not the ultimate reality. So this is the reason why we have to develop understanding of affliction. If you look at our four basic vow of a bodhisattva, the first is we vow to take across the limitless living beings. Then the second one is we vow to endure and severe all affliction, all suffering. You must have this ability, otherwise you cannot become a bodhisattva. You cannot cultivate and develop the wisdom until you can liberate your mind to endure and severe all affliction, then you cannot be successful in your cultivation of the bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha. So that's the reason why the Sutra of Infinite Meaning explained clearly. Affliction is to be understood after you have gone through all the various affliction, because living beings are very different, everyone is different. And over the eons and eons of cultivation, especially your first bodhisattva vow, when we vow to take across or liberate all living beings in the entire existence, that itself is a very formidable vow. It's very heavy, very intense. And to do that, you have to understand all these beings, the limitless living beings, their karmic nature, their whatever condition that brings about their existence, in order for you to have the ability to take them across, to teach them the appropriate Dhamma, to liberate their mind, to free their mind. Mm. So all this When you understand, you become beautiful. That's why you understand this word. In fact, affliction is bohi. They are the same. Okay, we will continue. By meticulously observing all phenomena and mindfully analyzing each of the suffering of the multitude of sentient beings. So this word meticulously is very important. You have to be very meticulous. Means you have to pay a lot of attention and you must develop the seriousness, the interest. To observe all phenomena and mindfully analyze each and every suffering of the multitude of sentient beings. We will discover that many afflictions of the world are actually created by nothingness and can be reduced back to nothingness. So, like I always explain, from zero come one, one comes infinity. That's how the infinite teaching Dhamma come about. When you understand this, you can return them back to the source. So that's why are actually created from nothingness, from the zero, the great void, everything come. Without selfish desire, without greed for fame and benefit, without fighting for power, naturally we will not give rise to affliction. If we continue down this line of the word analysis is not so good. Analysis belongs to the thought process. We should use investigation. Actually, Dhamma investigation is using the awareness to inquire. If we continue down this line of investigation, ultimately we will see that everything is merely a temporary composite of four elements, a conversion of causes and conditions. So this is very true. This is the simplified explanation of the phenomenal world. Because as a science student, we know that there are many elements in this conditioned world of ours. If you study chemistry, you will know a lot of elements. But during the Buddha's time, science and technology were not so advanced. So things can be simplified into the four elements. This four element is a wide explanation of all things. But all things has these four combined together. The first is the water element, then the earth element, then the heat element, and the wind element. So wind is vibration or movement. Then you have the heat and element which has temperature in it, heat, like you know, energy. The earth element is actually trapped energy. Earth element symbolizes solidity. Then water element signifies liquidity, or what they call viscosity. So this, what they call four elements, they have their very unique place in the arising of all phenomena. So from the four elements, all things arise. So this one you will come to understand. Even our human body has the four elements. The first element, which is the heat element, you know, our body temperature, when we are not sick, is about 98.4. We have this heat inside. But when you are sick, of course, the temperature will run. If you have fever, it will go above. Then if you have a chill or cold, then it may go below. But The heat element is very vital for maintaining good health. That's why we know the average temperature of a human being is 98.4. Then apart from heat element, we have the solid aspect of our physical body. We call it the earth element. Then the one that maintains the flow of liquid like blood, urine, mucus, pus, everything. These are the liquid element that has this cohesion that can actually flow. Then the last one is for our body to maintain that vertical shape, and for us to walk and move, we need the wind element. And this wind element is also supported by our breathing, our breath, our chi. Then we have the heartbeat, the pulse of life. All these are wind elements within us. That's why our whole physical body is vibrating because of the life force from our karmic nature. So this life force sustains life. It pumps the heart. The heart, and it pumps, it sends the blood to nourish all the important organs within our physical body. Then there is also this nature's chi, or they call the life force energy, that comes with the heartbeat. That's why all these vibrations, they go in at the heart area, where our gateway to our true nature is. From that same gateway, the life force come, the karmic force come. So all this, as a human being, we will develop the understanding when we meditate. This has always been the ultimate truth. Without causes and conditions, there is only emptiness. So this one, I believe by now, we all should have the good understanding. From the void, from the source, the zero, the original nature, the true nature, we call it the oneness nature or the source, which is empty. Nothing inside there. Then all Dhamma arise. All phenomena arise. That's why from zero come one, the first thought of ignorance. Then from one, condition, the infinite. So this dependent originating thing, condition arising phenomena or Dhamma, is what the Buddha Dhamma or the teaching is all about. When you have mindfulness and awareness to understand all this, you will awaken. You will come to understand how all things come about. And why the world, the universe is the way it is. That's why if you have the understanding, when I read this, you will understand. This has always been the ultimate truth that in the Sutra of Infinite Meaning say, without causes and conditions, there is only emptiness, which is the source. That's why after that, when causes and conditions arise, all things arise. That is what the mundane mind is all about. That's the reason why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. That refers to our mundane mind. But the mundane mind is a result of the true mind. Without the true mind, there is no mundane mind. So looking at all things in the universe, there is nothing that comes into existence without the convergence of causes and conditions. That's why this is a phenomenal world of causes and conditions, or we call it the existential world, where everything is causal phenomenal, condition arising. Then we have this law of dependent originating or law of dependent origination, dependent on certain causes and conditions, it will give rise to something else. So that's why it's called dependent originating or cause and effect. Even my lecturing of this sutta is only possible because of you people who gather to listen, and thus a space for teaching the sutta has been created. In this way, causes and conditions come together to make this lecture or Dhamma sharing possible. Thus, in a commentary on this sutta, it is stated all phenomena return to ultimate emptiness. Very true. Where from there it arises. This Dhamma pervades all of space and time. If we take the Dhamma into our heart, we ourselves can return to the ultimate emptiness of all phenomena and thus reach the state of tranquility where we are no longer affected by the changes in our surrounding. Then our mind will be able to encompass all phenomena and thoroughly penetrate the Dhamma that completely pervades all space and time. This commentary also states, the nature of all phenomena is still and empty, but manifests according to condition. This sentence is very beautiful. Huh? I read it again, you pay attention. The nature of all phenomena is still and empty. Always remember, this is the universal characteristics. Because its true nature is the original nature, the source. So there is nothing there, it's just stillness and empty. But all phenomena manifest from there according to condition. Fundamentally, the nature of all things is still and empty. This is also the principle and teaching of Jingshi. So they are teaching Jingshi here, Jingshi. Come from this stillness and emptiness nature. Because the principle and teaching of Jingshi is inherently stillness and tranquility. They can manifest anywhere according to condition. The commentary continues, as my right appearances manifest, by cultivating the stillness of the one Dhamma, we understand all. From the one Dhamma, we can cultivate or practice and completely realize all Dhamma. When we bring all Dhamma back to the stillness of the one Dhamma, we can illuminate all appearances. This is very beautiful. When you cultivate, you will understand. So when we bring all Dhamma back to the stillness of the one Dhamma, the one Dhamma is the infinite Dhamma, the infinite teaching, then we can illuminate all appearances. Because everything comes from that creation, from the source, from the oneness. So this is very beautiful. Yeah. Then earlier on it was mentioned, if we take all the Dhamma into our heart, why they use the word heart? That this is where the gateway is. When you return them there, it will cease. Then this gateway is the gateway to our nature, then it will transform our internal transformation and vibration until we can realize that true nature within, that stillness, that tranquility, and return to the nibbanic state. The realization of the unconditioned. So that's how all this can happen. So it's stated in the teaching that if we take the Dhamma into our heart, we ourselves can return to the ultimate emptiness of all phenomena, means the source, and thus reach the stage of tranquility where we are no longer affected by the changes in our surrounding, because within there, the unconditioned, it is completely different, not what you think. But when you come out there, the form and mind will understand many, many things. Then the sutta say, our mind will be able to encompass all phenomena and thoroughly penetrate all dhammas that completely pervades all space and time. So these are all very beautiful. Okay, we go to the next paragraph. So if we can observe this world and listen to its sound with infinite wisdom, then we will see that regardless of where and when, we are living in the midst of the Dhamma. That's why life itself is the Dhamma. Every day, the working of people, matters and things we encounter in our daily life are inseparable from the principle of the ultimate truth. That's why everything is Dhamma. It can teach us. So these are beautiful understanding. No matter what the situation is, everything happens according to Dhamma principles. By dealing with people and matter harmoniously, we will be in harmony with those true principles. So this key word is harmony. That's the reason why in the past I always share with you all, when there is Dhamma, wherever there is Dhamma, there is harmony. If it's rigid, it's not the true Dhamma. So Dhamma always lead to harmony. Dhamma, with Dhamma understanding, you will accord and flow. There is always harmony, peace, tranquility, and understanding. According to the sutta, this has always been the ultimate truth. So harmony is very important. We will be in harmony with all true principles. Furthermore, all things are empty and still in nature and appearances. Everything arises according to causes and conditions. It is because of causes and conditions coming together that all mind-like metals and things can exist. When causes and conditions disperse, everything ceases to be or ceases to exist. In the vast universe, there is no other truth. When we study the Buddha's way, we must clearly understand that this is part of the underlying principle of all matter, of all living beings, and the working of the mind that exists in time and space. Thus, when all chaos is eliminated, quiet stillness will naturally manifest. The principle of this Dhamma Dao are vast, very true, and are all encompassing. This is why it is called infinite meaning. This is beautiful. That's why this chapter expounding the Dhamma is very beautiful. All phenomena are empty and still, neither vertical nor horizontal, not one and not two. They are inseparable from the four elements. They have no appearance of existence or non-existence. There is no one and no others. This is inconceivable as the endless void. So this one is very profound. It's about the unconditioned. When you understand the unconditioned and the conditioned, well, you will understand this teaching. So the endless void, there's a note there. We'll read the note. So according to this footnote 28, it says, see, Venerable Masters, Zi Yi's a brief summary of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Therefore, all phenomena are empty and still. Emptiness and stillness contain all phenomena. All phenomena are never vertical or horizontal, not one and not two, since there is nothing to perceive appearances. There is nothing to respond to experiences. There is no subject and no object, no one and no others. This is as inconceivable as the endless void. So this one is just a description of the thing. Yeah? You can only understand this profound statement when you understand the unconditioned. Okay, we read on. The meaning behind this text may seem profound, but this principle can be found in our daily living. At the Qingshi Abbot, when we step outside, we can see a forest. As we let our eyes wander, all we see are crisscrossing verticals and horizontal tree trunks and branches, intertwined and hard to distinguish individually. All these branches, vertical or horizontal, at first glance, we can see that the tree trunk is vertical and the branches are horizontal. But upon closer observation, we also realize that the root and underground grow both vertically and horizontally. No matter which direction they grow in, they all exist in the same space without impeding each other, thus creating the phenomenon of a tree. Are the trees, grass, and flower of the land vertical or horizontal? Because they exist together harmoniously without impeding each other, they form a single entity in this universe that is neither vertical nor horizontal. And things seem empty and still. The earth and the universe itself are inherently empty and still. But the numerous things existing within them are not one and not two, but infinite and immeasurable. So this paragraph, if you want to understand, I can give you an example and you will understand it very well. Even within our English language, yeah, there are two words. One is phenomena. The other one is the opposite of phenomena, which is pneumono. Instead of phenomena, it's pneumono. Actually, pneumono is when there is nothing. It's the total void. When there is no phenomena, the total void. Just like this, our universe is immense space, the great void. But within the great void, everything arises because of causes and conditions. That's how the phenomenal world arises within that pneumonal world. So one is the complete void, the oneness, where there is nothing. The others is the infinite phenomena that arise and arising and ceasing following the nature's law of dependent origination or cause and condition. They have the scientific law, the physical law, the biological order, and they have the spiritual law, the karmic law. Yeah. So we have the physical law of cause and effect. We have the karmic law of cause and effect. So all this trigger off the causes and condition. That's why our whole universe is governed by the five pancha niyamas. They are the universal order that governs all of life and existence. So you understand that, you will understand the sutta. Then when you experience the nibbanic unconditioned realization, when the form and mind ceases, then Nibbana can be realized. Yeah. When Nibbana arises, it's not a state, it's the unconditioned. Only the form of mind that enters it or realizes it can understand what the thing is. Because during that stage, even your pure awareness, the one that first come out from that oneness nature, the source, the awareness nature, even the pure awareness also ceases to be. And there is nothing at all. You cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. Yeah, it's beyond mind, beyond thought. Beyond thought, thought is the mundane mind. Beyond mind means it's beyond that true mind, the pure awareness. So all these are very inconceivable, very beautiful. The teaching is very profound. Unless you have that nature and that realization, you can't understand. And when you can't understand, you cannot teach. Because what you teach can only be knowledge, nothing else. This world is wondrously profound. And the appearances of the things within it are numerous and complex. But if we thoroughly analyze that the word is not good, don't use the word analyze. Investigate them one by one. The better word should be investigate. Investigate them one by one. We will find that everything is formed from the four elements, earth, water, fire, or heat element, and wind element. They put the word air, actually it's wind. We previously mentioned the fire within wood, but in addition to containing fire, wood also needs to contain water. Without water, a seed cannot sprout or grow. For the seed to grow into a tree, it needs all the four elements. Soil, water, sunshine, and air, or wind. In the vast forests of Europe and America, when there is a dry spell, the leaf will turn yellow and fall due to the lack of water. How to pronounce this word? If a F-O-E-H-N, fern wind blows, the bare and dry branches will rub against each other and generate heat. Once a flame ignites, the whole forest is quickly overtaken by an uncontrollable blaze of bushfire. The nature of wind is cooling. So how does it become this hot and dry? How does it become this hot? And dry air that causes dry branches to catch fire. This is because in wood there is potential for fire, and this fire is fanned by the movement of wind. Thus, air can bring fire. Once there is an imbalance between elements, disasters start brewing in this universe or this existential world or planet. If there is too much or too little of any of the four elements, the natural order will be disrupted and disaster will arise. If the four elements are imbalanced, the world will run. If the four elements are imbalance, the world will run smoothly according to nature's law and display the vitality of its empty and still nature. So this is the same for our body. If our four elements are in order or imbalance, then we will be in good health. Any other four elements, including the temperature, if we go out, we will be gone. If we have too much water, also problem, sickness. Too little water, also problem, dehydrate. Then, if the earth element, too much, also no good. So, all these four elements, earth, water, wind and heat, they must be in the state of balance. Okay, we go on. Think about it. Although the empty space around us has no appearances, it encompasses all things and there are countless changes occurring within it. This is what I was explaining to you. So he said the empty space around us has no appearance. This refers to the pneumono, the whole of that oneness nature. Yet, it encompasses all things and there are countless phenomena occurring within it. For example, by the light of dawn on a clear day, we can see a drop of dew on the tip of a blade of glass. Although there has been no rain and we do not sense the presence of any other water around, there are moisture in the air, we know, humidity, that condense into droplets of water, especially in the early morning. That's why we can have morning dew. When it goes below the dew point, then it condenses itself to become dew or water or vapor. When water is heated by the sun, it becomes vapor during the night. After the sun's heat dissipates, this vapor condenses back into water. When we investigate things closely, we see that they all arise through the interaction of the four elements: the earth element, water element, heat or fire element, and the wind element. Thus, phenomena had no appearances or existence or non-existent. What about empty space? Does it have an appearance? If so, what does it look like? Clearly, it is because space is without form that we refer to it as empty space. However, within this empty space, we can see table, chair, flowers, and grass, which are all manifestations of existence. Space, which is intangible, can contain all kinds of tangible things, and tangible things are only manifest. Sorry, you go back. And tangible things can only manifest within the emptiness of space. Therefore, existence and emptiness cannot be separated. So this is very beautiful. Okay, we read a bit more. So the Sutra of Infinite Meaning states, the Buddha's body is neither existent nor non-existent, arises from neither causes nor condition, and does not discriminate self from others. Space is inherently without appearances, but the Buddha's body is neither existent nor non-existent. So it is neither without appearances, nor does it have an appearances. So this is referring to the spiritual aspect of things. They are more difficult to understand if you don't have the spiritual understanding. Well, one talks from the unconditioned Dhamma, the other from the conditioned Dhamma. So conditioned Dhamma, everything is like concept, idea, can be defined, exists, doesn't exist. That's why you have all the duality, existent and non-existent. Then causes and condition, everything, they exist within the conditioned world. But here, you say, according to the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, it stated, the body of the Buddha is neither existent nor non-existent. So you will be confused. But this is from the unconditioned Dhamma, arising from neither causes and condition, and does not discriminate self from others, means there is no mark. So space is inherently without appearances, but the Buddha's body is neither existent nor non-existent. So it is neither without appearances, nor does it have an appearances, because within the unconditioned, there is no duality. You cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. That's why it's so beautiful. All things in this universe, this vast empty space, are inherently without appearance. Similarly, the Buddha's body has no appearances or existence or non-existent. Therefore, there is no way we can analyze what the Buddha's appearance actually is. There is no I and no other. This is an example of the same principle. Where is the I? The I does not inherently exist, and it also arises from the conversion of causes and conditions. We have an affinity with our parent, and our parent have the karmic condition to be attracted to one another, so that our father's sperm can meet our mother's egg, or what they call one that female one, ovum. Yeah. So many causes and conditions must converge for there to be something we can call the I. But here the description is a bit different, I think. Here they refer to the I as the human entity, the personality, the human being. The Buddha's teaching is the other way around, non-self, empty nature. So all this conditioned world, whatever that arises, is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's not a self, not something that belongs to you. That's why it's non-self. So it may appear very confusing, but it's not confusing. When you meditate and realize it through the awareness, you will understand that they are dependent originating condition arising. So how can a phenomenon which is dependent originating and condition arising, supported by condition, be called a permanent unchanging entity, and you can cling on to it, hold on to it, and say, this is me, this is I, because that doesn't have any meaning at all. Well, it's evolving, it's changing, supported by condition, dependent originating. Every moment is different. So when you say the me and the I, what is that? That itself is impermanent, led to suffering, empty, non-self. So when you cannot realize this, you cannot realize the Dhamma. You will be deceived, deluded, and you will be trapped. Your mundane mind will cling, grasp, and create a lot of suffering. Okay, we read on. We say that I have a body. What is a body? A body is also inseparable from the four elements. A body's bone and flesh can be categorized as earth element, our breath as wind element, our mucus, tears, blood, and other bodily fluids are water element, like our urine, etc. And our bodily heat is fire element, or heat element. If these four elements are not in balance, are not in the state of balance, various illness will arise. If the four elements converge in a balanced way, everything in the body will function smoothly. So this one is very easy to understand. Thus, causes and conditions need to converge in order for any appearances in the world to take shape. This is similar to how when a train passes, we can hear the sound of the train, but does the sound still exist after the train has passed? Actually, it does. It is just that the sound now exists in a different space. Before the condition of this train converged with the condition of this location, we could not hear any sound. But when the train approaches along the track near to this location, we can hear the sound within this particular area. So the noise does not appear out of nowhere. The train is a cause, and the portion of the track that travels through our space is a condition. Within a certain range, the sound of train can be heard. Without the conversion of these causes and conditions, no sound can be heard. When these causes and conditions converge, sound appear after the train passes. Although the sound, I think the word missing, can no longer, the word noise, be heard in this place, it can still be heard in whatever space the train is at that moment passing through. It's just that sound no longer exists in the place the train has already left behind. So a better way to explain it is like what I have used to explain to you all. You see, sound is a phenomenon. It needs causes and conditions for it to arise. So if I ask you a question, is the sound or the vibration of the train approaching real? Does it exist? Of course, when it's near the range, like Master Sen Yen explained, the author, when the causes and conditions converge, you have your ear nearby, you can pick it up, then hearing consciousness arise. So to you, you say it's real, it exists. So sound to you is real, exists when you can hear it. What is the meaning? Because our human senses are limited. Whatever perceivable by our senses, we say real or exists. Whatever we cannot perceive, we say don't exist or unreal. So just now, the train analogy or a passing car analogy is a very good example. Before the train arrived, the train was making vibration and sound and noise in a different space. People there, they can perceive it, they can hear it. To them, exists. But after it passed by, they say no longer exists, but it appear on another space. So what is existent? What is real and what is unreal? It's a relative concept. We are human beings are limited. Our senses are very limited. That's why without the awareness nature, a lot of things we can't understand. We cannot perceive beyond the senses. To us, our senses decide whether things exist or don't exist, whether things are real or unreal. The unseen, you cannot see, you say it's not real, like the non-human, the petas and all those things. They do exist, but because we can't see. That's why scientists now, they need instrument to detect all these things. They use various type of technology to detect all these things. So all this we need to understand is relative truth, not ultimate truth. So when we look at ultimate truth, it's different again. So relative truth is within the world of convention, world of existence, is existential truth. So real and unreal exist or don't exist depend on how we perceive it. So if we perceive it with our limited senses, then we have such problem because our lack of understanding. Without this spiritual understanding, living being cannot understand. But with the Dhamma understanding, the spiritual understanding, we understand that everything is conditioned arising, causal phenomenon. So when there is no condition for us to pick up the vibration because of our limitation of the senses, then we say it's like it doesn't exist. It's not real to us. There is no train sound. But in reality, the train sound is there as long as this train continues to move, but it exists in another space. So this understanding is very important. Just like that day, we share the five aggregates of form and mind. When I ask, what is seeing? So in this case of the train is hearing. What is hearing? Hearing consciousness. What is seeing? Who see? What see? Hearing also same. Who hear? What hear? Both are dependent originating, condition arising. They arises because of condition. That's why we came to this understanding. I alone don't see. Because when people are not sure in delusion, they will use logic. When you question them, they cannot answer. Then they say, I think it's my eye that see. Because without eye, I cannot see. Logical. It's very logical. Without eye, you cannot see. So you tend to agree. The eye is the human eye, E-Y-E. The eye see. Then you ask another question. The dead man opened the eye. Does he see? He cannot see. Then when you are asleep, some of you sleep with your eye open. Did you see? You are dreaming. You also cannot see. So I alone don't see. Then they think they are very smart. Oh, he said, I know. The mind see. Oh, logical, isn't it? Without mind, with the eye, no use. You cannot see. So with eye, with mind, you can see. So they think they are right, the mind see. Then you ask them, a blind man has mind, you know? Yes, he has mind. But does the blind man see? He can't. It's just like the one with the perfect eye in a dark room, he also cannot see. So the blind man with the mind cannot see. So mind alone also don't see. So what is seeing? To be conscious of seeing, you need all the three conditions. You need to have the eye that is functional. You need to have a conscious mind that is within to make contact. You need the light, the sense data to come in. So all these three conditions, when they are there, then seeing consciousness, like the physics experiment, comes to be. You become conscious of seeing. So all of our sense experience, they are all condition arising, causal phenomenal. There is no one inside there to see, to hear. Realize this in your meditation, in your daily mindfulness. Then you will understand the Buddha's teaching deeply, profoundly. Then you will understand everything within the conditioned world is dependent, originating. Condition arising, cause of norm, then your Sakkaya Ditti will be rooted out. Very fast, you will understand, you can realize. But you need sati, you need mindfulness, you need a silent mind to understand all this. Okay, so we go back to the notes. I think we have to stop already. Huh? Okay, we are open up for meditation reporting, followed by question and answer. Huh?
Okay, good evening, brother Teo. Thanks for Sister Puching for nominating me.
Nominating you.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I think it's also the time, is it?
We haven't got you for quite a while.
You know, for the past few weeks, I've been contemplating about sati. Because the reason why that, because I try to explain to people that like me before, see, what is sati, you know, because
like you before you understand,
correct? Because I can really relate to them, because you know, before that I really don't have a clue. What I understand is just a concept. Sati.
Correct. Yes.
It's just a word.
Yeah.
It's just a word. And it's all about knowledge. And it's correct. Very difficult to really understand what is sati, because I have no clue at all, see? So what I've came out was that, you know, I came out with an example. I talked to the person and say, do you know how to cycle? I asked him. You know, I do not know how to cycle. And then I say, what is the key things for you to able to manage to cycle? Then the person say, balance.
Yeah.
I say exactly the same for cultivations. The first key thing is sati.
Mm.
Okay. So for balancing, and before you learn to get the balancing in cycle in cycling,
yeah.
What do? You don't know, isn't it? You know, you just see people just go up to the bicycle and then just cycle. And yeah. Then how do you learn it? You need to learn by, you know, maybe falling down, you know, up and few times, many times, you see. Mm. And then you have to take out the time, the efforts to learn from it. And then initially, people may just, you may learn to do the cycling by putting a two small wheel at the back, you know, those kind of like, to get the
baby,
yeah, bicycle.
Bicycle assisted with a two small wheel. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That for me is just like, you know, a skillful way for meditation, yeah, yeah. Is it like anapana sati, you know, relaxing the body and all, you know, this is just a skillful, but it's just like the cycling with the two small wheel at the back, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
One you with the two small wheel attached, it you sort of like you don't fall down, you see. But yeah, that doesn't mean that you know how to cycle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is just a skillful way for you to sort of like get the balancing, is it? Get the feel of balancing. It's just like using the skillful way meditate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To train the mind.
Train the mind. That doesn't mean that you get the sati.
Yeah, yeah.
That just only you to plan for you to do help you to get the preparation work.
It's supposed to be a skillful mean to help the anchor the mind and develop mindfulness on the object of meditation. But they don't know that. That is where the problem is. So they thought that whatever instruction given is the meditation. That is not the meditation. Because the method, the technique, and the object of meditation doesn't define the meditation. Meditation is about heedfulness, about mindfulness. Because to be heedful, you have to be ever mindful. Then you have to develop mindfulness and stabilize it to be ever mindful. So people can't understand all this. They don't know what the teaching is. The five spiritual faculties, they are taught separately, not connected at all. The five mental hindrances also. So they don't even know that we have two minds. How the mind function, they don't know. Then without thought, you are already aware. That one also they don't know. When you relax, maintain awareness and silence your mind, the mundane mind slow down and suddenly return to stillness for you to realize your true mind. All this they don't know. So what they do? They follow instruction. They do method technique. They note, they focus, they concentrate, they do everything without understanding. That's why when you do without understanding, you will have this problem. So next time, your analogy, in order to make them understand better, is the swimming one that I use. When you hold on to the float to swim, you can never understand the real swimming. You have to let off that float and understand that your body is lighter than water. That your body, if you don't fear it drown, you maintain your breath and let the body sink down until the up thrust equals to the bodily weight. And because the body is slightly lighter than water, the up thrust will push it up after that. Then you will float up. And then you will float up that time, you realize, hey, this very important truth is your body is buoyancy. Is lighter than water. And that truth is very important. It's just like your true mind. Without thought, your true mind arises. And that is sati, that is awareness. So the natural state of mind is stillness, tranquility. No need to do anything. Relax, maintain awareness for the mundane mind to cease or to slow down. Then you will realize the true mind. Actually, that buoyancy characteristic of a human body is a very good example. Our natural state is lighter than water. Our physical body has buoyancy. So you will confidently jump into the water, don't have to worry about it drown. Because when it sinks down, you patiently wait for the upthrust to push it out. Then you realize you can float. Then swimming becomes very easy. You don't need the float to assist you to float because your natural state of body is buoyancy. Buoyant. So when it is buoyant, there is this ability for it to float. So buoyancy is a natural characteristics of our human body. So when you know that, your mind is the same. The natural state before the stirring, before the thinking, before the mundane arising of the aggregates of mind is already the true mind, the sati, that awareness nature. So to meditate is the same. Like swimming, don't do anything. Just allow it to be, then it will float. Then when you realize that swimming becomes very easy, you want to move forward, just move your hand or kick, propel your leg. Then it moves forward. Then you want to swim, breaststroke, butterfly, what? Up to you. So meditation is the same. When I silent, when I relax and maintain awareness, I am in that meditative state. Then I can meditate. I can do what I want. I can develop understanding from it. So that analogy, I feel, is much easier to understand and make people have the understanding. Yeah, you know, but it's not easy, I tell you. When I first came out to teach, I realized hardly anybody understands what sati is. That's why it was not easy.
Yeah, correct. I mean, exactly, you see, because just like me before, see, I've been hearing so many years, you see. And
you are not to me, at least you have got it now. But a lot of people, you haven't got it.
Unless you experience it, or else it's difficult. Understand. I mean, and I understand that, you know, it's just like balancing or swimming. It has different level, you see. I'm just maybe just getting a hands of it, you see. And I still got a lot of way to improve, you see.
You already improve and progress very well because at least you can have that ability to actually be aware of your heartbeat. That is a very great improvement. Then when you understand that, you understand what sati is, then you can even sometimes reach the stage where the thoughts slow down and finally become very quiet, like Steve. So it will go through all this process. Then you will experience more and more things. Then the heartbeat, the pounding of the heart, vibrate. At first, it's like very gross, like very loud like that. Then later on, as your awareness is there, as you relax further into it and silent, don't try to know, then you see the breathing slow down, like when you are in deep sleep. Yeah. Then the heart does not pound like before. Then like you hardly breathe. Yeah. Then the awareness there is so subtle. Then finally, like what Po Cheng they all realize is even that so-called vibration also ceased, no more. I think you experienced it for a while. I remember you reported it. Yeah. Then you can't find it. So don't worry. Stay there. It will come back. Then that will enter sati. Once the mind enters sati, you are home. A lot of things will happen. You will understand many things. So patiently develop the ability to be aware until the mind enters sati and daily mindfulness. After that, when you come out of it, maintain the continuity of daily mindfulness. Then when the mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. Then determine to be aware, then the sati will come. Then in the midst of life, you can do that. Your sati sampajana will come to be. That is step 5. Then straight away after that, you are home. Step 6, step 7 of Satipatthana, of Avijja Sutta will come to be. It's a natural consequence. Very good.
Yeah.
So finally, did you manage to explain to them?
Yeah, I can explain because the person know how to cycle, you see. So I I give the person an example, then he sort of like can have a crew of it, is it? Yeah, what is balancing, is it? Yeah.
But he still cannot understand what the real sati. We are not so
of course. That's the person have experienced it, is it? Yeah.
I think the other better way is to listen to that Dhamma talk that I share at Suyan's house. What is the difference
between
awareness and consciousness? Listen to that one. He will understand better.
Yeah.
That one is very good.
Yeah.
At the moment you are conscious, you are no longer aware. Because the content of consciousness go in already. You are aware. The awareness is very different without the thought. Yeah. You can continue.
And right now, I can really understand your Dhamma much better. Like, for example, when I do the mini YouTube, I can capture the essence, and not only that, I can give the title, you see.
Correct.
Last time, I have to refer to Sister So-yi about the title, but now I can easily, you know, come up with the title name, is it?
Miss, you have the understanding already. Otherwise, you cannot.
And the mini, I have to say to all the Kayamita, by participating into doing the mini YouTube, actually it's a very good way.
Yes.
You know,
progress.
To help out. Yeah. Because you listen back.
Spend more time to listen. Then you develop the understanding because you are indirectly forced to develop the understanding because you have to come out with the title, the proposal. So a lot of Kayamita are shy. That's why they have this fear. Then they don't understand. What fear? The thought fear. Your true nature don't have fear. If you really have the faith, the sadha and the virya, it will motivate you and you will develop the Dhamma training. So actually, confidently volunteer and try. That's why learning is all about learning how to swim also same, learning how to ride a bicycle also same, and learning to develop understanding of the Dhamma also same. You have to contribute, help out, then confidently volunteer and do. Very good.
Sadhu, really. I mean, there's so many opportunities for Kayamita to participate, is it?
Yes.
Because a lot of videos, if you don't capture it, you know, it just gone, is it?
Yeah.
So you have to extract it so that come out with into a small video with the title.
Yeah.
So people will catch people's attention, is it?
Yeah.
And this is a very, very wholesome work, you see. And I urge all the Kayamita to participate, you see.
Yeah. They should. So do you.
And recently I've like Bra Chong called me. So we talk about Dhamma and all these things. And then he asked me how to refine sati. Then you know. Then I thought a lot of things. Then he said, this is only, he said in Mandarin, you see. He said, you just listen, only this word. Fang song. Wow, I don't know. I mean, I've been hearing you for many times, but suddenly maybe the Chinese word, is it fang song? It just hit me, you see. It just hit me. It was just like,
you cannot go in deep. Do you understand? Relax, means. No interference from the mundane mind. That is trust. Without that trust, you cannot go in, actually. Not easy.
Yeah, but I think it's maybe the Chinese word is it fang is like, you know, we fang, yue fang ju yue song, yue fang ju yue song. I was like, suddenly it just hit me, you see. And then he asked me again, he said that when you have thought during your meditations, what should you do? Then again, you know, I share with him a lot of things. Then he said, only this thing, 什么都不做. Just like what you say, do nothing, is it?
I already told you, assume you are dead. Remember? Assume you are dead. A dead person cannot do anything, but you are conscious within. A dead man cannot talk, cannot think. But there is this awareness within. So assume you are dead means don't react, don't respond, silent within. Maintain the awareness. That is the real sati. That is the real meditation that can arise. So even the Taiwan trip, we went to Fa Ku San, you remember? When they asked about meditation, the disciple quote what the master mentioned. 16个字. Can remember or not? Can remember?
Yeah.
心在哪里? 放松, 全体放松. So the first thing they teach is relax, 放松. Then the whole body and mind, 全体放松. Then 身在哪里? 心在哪里? Wherever the body is, the mind follow, aware of it, together, form and mind as one. The awareness and the kaya as one. That is kaya, nupasana. Yeah. So, all of meditation, those who understand, they will explain to you the same thing, going back to sati. And the key is relax. 放松, 全体放松. Then relax is body and mind. Not only body, body and mind. Then maintain awareness. That one people forgot. Maintain awareness means just aware. Then 身在哪里, 心在哪里 is to maintain awareness of kaya. Then later on maintain awareness of feeling. Maintain awareness of content of consciousness. Maintain awareness of all the physical flow, nature's flow, mental flow, the daily mindfulness. That is how the teaching comes about. So now you're slowly going in and developing the understanding. So what he discussed with you is also not bad, because it gives you some pointer to let you come back to the teaching, the Dhamma. Because maybe Mandarin would suit some of you more. But if you can understand both, it's the best, Mandarin and English. Because the English word also, when you understand, the meaning can also come out. That's why now you should learn how to understand the simple English word that I try to come out with to teach. The four support, relax, maintain awareness. So relax, aware, and maintain awareness, then trust. These four. The English words are very powerful. Trust is very important. Then, of course, the Mandarin word will add in 什么都不要做, which is trust. Don't interfere with the mundane mind, the thinking. But people cannot understand 什么都不要做. Then what is meditation? Then who meditate? They never explain this part, that's why it cannot go in. When you understand already, that word has meaning. 什么都不用做. That's why I told you, don't try to know. Don't try to do. Remember? That is the English word, instruction. That is a more precise and correct one. Then just silent, relax. Maintain awareness for as long as you can. That is the fastest. Then the five spiritual faculty. All this, you must get it very, very clearly understood. Then when you meditate, follow all this understanding, which means you meditate with understanding, then you progress very fast. Then when you do, all this will fall into place. Then you will understand what I say, because it comes from the silent mind. The silent mind that has gone through that training will understand my words. Well, my words are not Dhamma knowledge. Dhamma knowledge can understand. Okay, Jinal? Very
yeah.
good.
Now you're sharing, you see, those sounds very simple, like silence, don't do anything, trust, all these things. It's really appeal to me.
Yes.
Really appeal to me.
If you write down all this, I tell you, later on, you will know how to translate them into Mandarin, and it become very beautiful. Is that like the unique code and all this thing? Actually, the unique code is very good, very, very complete.
Yeah, Sadhu. Really, I mean, I can understand much, much better. See? Not like last time. Last time, I know it's just only knowledge. Now, it makes sense to me. See?
Yeah.
It goes sing in.
Yeah,
so do.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thanks for that good sharing. Anything?
All right.
You have any or any other sharing?
Yeah, I think that's all for now, really.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Sadhu. Let Sadhu. Us be guys. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. So hopefully with what Chin Hao has gone through and shared, it can give rise to faith and motivation to other Kayanamitas. I think this is a very good way of sharing so that other Kayanamita can also progress. Actually, Chin Hao has progressed a lot since the early days. Well, he was not able to grasp what that sati is. It took him quite a while. Actually, it's not easy for normal people who don't have the past, who don't have the attentiveness to listen, to grasp the essence of the teaching. If you have your past, you can grasp very fast. But this life is Jin Hao determined and want to have all this understanding life after life. Whenever he arrives, he choose to come or have to come. That vow following the Bodhisattva way will actually stabilize all this understanding and give rise to causes and conditions for him to have this right view and right understanding life after life. Because this particular life, his parami will be very good. He can invoke power of merits and blessing and wholesomeness for causes and conditions to enable his nature to have this right view and right understanding life after life. Follow the yellow card and determine. Then all this understanding will come. Then later on when you arise, the Bodhi mind will actually move, even nature by itself. Then whenever it hear truth, it understand. It hear truth, it understand. Then you know how to cultivate. Actually, after that, you make the expression, Imina Punyang Kamina. That one very powerful. By the power of this Punya, may arise the causes and conditions for you to always avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise and the... that one will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to always hear the right Dhamma. When you hear the right Dhamma, your vow will be activated again. And all your whatever aspiration that you make, all this right view will surface. Because these are the causes and conditions for them to arise. Then, even without sasana, you can cultivate. You will know what this is. Then when you, in the future, hear about this truth and this teaching, you will straight away understand. Then you will pay attention to phenomena. You will pay attention to sati, and you don't know how to do it. Very natural. That's why this life I came, nobody taught me, actually. Meditation and all that, I just did it on my own. Even this anapanasati, I never even read the sutta initially. I just do, and I naturally know what to do until the mind becomes very quiet, very still. Then the mind enters sati. That's how I found out all these things. Nobody taught me. Then, basically, I do not fancy any method or technique. Except anapanasati, it comes to me naturally. Then later on, when I met my last guy, I realized that the lying down was the best because I encountered many teachers who talked to me lying down meditation. Then I saw the Buddha's posture, Parinibbana, also lying down. Then when I read the four posture, I also knew. That's why I confidently went and tried. Then the moment I tried, oh, I realized that was the best posture. But you can't be teaching the beginner this one. Yeah, everybody will snore. And the newcomer will think, what is this going on? It's not meditation. It's sleeping, snoring. It's just like Brother Chia, you remember? The song's friend from Singapore. The first time he came to retreat, the first day he complained to me. He said, what is this? Everybody lying down like that all over and snoring. He said, this is not meditation. They are very used to the very strict type, where golden silence, cannot talk and all those things. Even a pin drop also not supposed to happen. It will disturb their meditation. So without understanding, all this problem will surface. But when you have the understanding, it's totally different. Meditation is not what people think. Meditation is understanding what that thing is. When you understand, you become beautiful. So, salute to you, Jin Hao.
I would like to add some more things,
Ken.
I noticed reason why that, in the past that I it's so difficult to sort of experience or get the sati. And also some of the avita that I noticed. There are two reasons. One is the karmic obstructions.
Correct. That one they need to break it. Yeah.
Correct. The other thing is avijja, wrong views. So I noticed a lot of people that have these two, a lot of karmic obstructions. So What I think we need to do is we should do more on the
asking for forgiveness. Repentance.
Repentance.
And invoke power of merit. Make aspirations. Invoke power of merit for causes and conditions to turn around and to develop the sati. And to progress along the path of Dhamma quickly. As soon as possible.
But one thing is all this will take time. It doesn't mean that,
definitely,
you ask
definitely.
For it now.
Yes.
It takes time.
That's why now you start to understand why I said, and even the Buddha also said, everything is dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal phenomena. So causes and condition must fall into place for things to happen. So you have karmic obstruction, you must break it. You must do what you have to do. Then after that, you have to be sincere. That's why you recall my word, write it down, then you will progress. Sincere, like what you have done, have faith. Then persevere, you just do. Don't try to know. Don't try to even analyze or question. Just silent, relax, maintain awareness. Don't try to even do with the mundane mind, no doing. Just silent, maintain awareness, away until that nature become very stable, until the awareness nature, you can realize that very clearly. That is your true mind, your silent mind. Whenever it is silent and without thought, that is the deep. And that one, very near the nature. Then after that, because you haven't stabilized it, the thinking come very fast, because it's like next to it only. Very fast it come out, the aggregate of mind. Because the mundane mind has this habitual tendency of wanting to know, wanting to experience, and the thinking just trickle out very fast. But when you have stabilized it already, you can see, that movement is different. That is the mundane mind. Then when you silent, stay with the tranquility and the stillness, it will stay there. But you have to develop until it's stable. Until you have that stability. And then, from there, you come out, you can see the mundane mind very clearly. That is from the true mind you observe. It's no longer from the thought. While you are thinking, you are lost in thought. When you are lost in thought, you are actually heedless. You're no longer aware. But when you are aware, then you see that movement is different. The awareness observes that movement. Then it knows these two things are very near. Actually, it came from the same source, from the true mind, the awareness nature. It actually come out, trigger. And because we have this brain, that's why brain is accumulation of memory, views, opinion, conditioning, Dhamma knowledge and everything. Then from there, thought come out. That's why thought is respond to memory. So that true mind, which is pure awareness, pure consciousness, become the power bank, like the source of consciousness. Then the brain input the content. You can see it very clearly when you are mindful and aware. Then what part of thought go in, you also aware. Then you start to realize the very important principle. The user of thought is very important. So without right view, you cannot have right thought. You will understand that. And you will understand the cultivation very differently. Then you will focus your cultivation on straightening your view, developing the direct seeing, the insight into phenomena, the understanding of the universal characteristic, means the direct seeing, silent, and all this. Then all the Dhamma, the more you listen, the more you read, everything will fall into place. Then the understanding deepen, stabilize. Then it prepare you to receive truth. Then when the condition is ready, it come, you will keep on awakening you. That's how it will happen. Can follow, Jinhao?
Sadhu. And the other thing I think is very, very important is faith, you see.
Faith, very important.
Don't underestimate yourself.
You must have faith.
Faith
is very important.
People that able to come close to you or able to listen to your sharing, they must have faith.
Very strong faith. Otherwise, they cannot.
I mean, definitely they have something behind. It's just like
they have their karmic conditioning, past causes. But you must have faith to penetrate the Dhamma. Don't underestimate faith. Faith is very important. The Saddha and Virya are very important. It must push you. When you realize the importance of this teaching, the beauty of this teaching, and how wonderful this teaching is, you will go all out to cultivate. That's how the faith will move you to Virya, to develop the sincerity and the perseverance. And you will progress. All this is part and parcel of cultivation, understanding. Very good, Jinhao Sadhu. Today your suggestion is very good. Anything else you want to add?
That's all. Thanks.
Okay, Sadhu. Anybody else come in? We can take one more.
Pratia, this is
Bocheng. Amitabha.
To Pratia and
Kayamita.
And Sadhu to Radhichinhao.
Yes,
I'm very happy and joyful to listen to Brother Chinhao's progress.
Yes.
Hit a lot on the mini video. Very interesting and important for cultivation.
Yes.
You know, and everybody, in fact, he progressed a lot from
from doing all this. Now he start to catch the important pointer.
Yes.
Then he go and do it, and he try, then he succeed. That's why the faith actually very important. Yes.
Okay, just now Bernard Chima was saying about the coming obsession, ask for forgiveness, and do not understand yourself, your past, that you do not know yet, go into the cultivation.
Yes.
Then Brother Teo say about the faith. One thing I want to say is faith is super
important.
The reason I say that is again and again here, and Brother Teo, you yourself say that as well. It's because this faith will sustain you in the long haul, you know.
Correct.
If you don't have faith, then after that, your engine...
Correct.
You don't have more energy.
Correct.
After a while, you stop.
Yeah, you no longer have the motivation.
Yes. Correct. You need that to sustain the
Yeah, rapport, the
you know?
Cultivation. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Very strong sadha.
Yes. Very important. Without cannot continue and sustain know? Yes. So I find that this one cannot underestimate.
Yes. Very good.
I truly agree. You know.
Yes. Yeah, you also came through that. Yeah. You also came through that. Yeah.
Yes. So when I first started, so I want to talk a little bit about faith that Kayamita also can understand how this faith can be developed. When I first started, understanding the Buddha, the nine virtues, that is very important. And I also don't know how to chant in the past, I don't know the Pali. I learned that and I also don't know the meaning, you know. I chant it, I learn it anyway, and then slowly,
The understanding comes.
Chanting, the meaning come out by
itself.
Itself.
Yes. Once you had the Dhamma, the Pali word had become very clear to you.
Yes. And the meaning also become clear to you. So as you chant, the meaning give you
the energy and the faith.
I don't know, this is from my own experience.
True. What you say is very true.
The word itself, you somehow energize it.
Yeah, your heart open up. The joy.
Yes.
Then from there, the nature actually shine forth. That's how you progress. That's how you actually able to detect the gateway and all. Say, where is from your faith, your sadha leading to the virya to actually push you and motivate you to constantly cultivate. You become very determined.
Yes, constantly motivate you.
Yes,
important, you know.
Correct.
I mean, you don't need anything but that itself, help you to be motivated.
Yeah.
Regardless of your schedule, whatever, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so this faith, is extremely important.
Yeah, extremely
for
important.
For the long haul, if you really want to walk the path, it's really very important.
You need this faith. It's first of the five spiritual faculty.
Yes,
you need to have that. I remember when I have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, especially my teachers who have given me the guidance and the faith. That one motivated me. Then when I have faith in them, I listen attentively, then the words stand out. Then I can capture some of the important meaning that I need. Then from there, I move very fast. Most of my teachers, they didn't really taught me anything about meditation, but they share with me certain very important truth. Truth about the mind, truth about nature's condition and all those things. Then once I listen, then it connect me back to the understanding of the cultivation. Then from there, on my own, I move because of my past. So I only need some pointer. Initially, it's about the mind. About the mind. So when they taught me about the mind, they didn't even tell me that there are two minds, mundane mind and the true mind. No, they just tell me, Acharyantra, I remember, the first to tell me about the mind. He said, mind is mind. Body is the body. Body never the mind. Mind never the body. But we choose to take care of mind, be our mind most important. How? With this, I had a lot of joy and I move. Because I can connect it back to mind is a forerunner or thing. That's why he said, we choose to take care of mind. Then after that, he didn't end, no, he continued. He said, the body important too. Because the body and mind must harmonize for us to develop the cultivation. Now, all these are very important pointers. So I never take the extreme of self-mortification and all those things. No. Then I know the body is the body, mind is mind. That's why when I was in the meditative, I remember it was an 8 precept, 3 day, 2 night. I was so determined, I make the affirmation, something like the Buddha when he said, unless the Buddha went further, he said, not until the enlightenment come, he is not going to rise, even the sinus dry out or what. He make very strong affirmation that he meditate underneath the Bodhi tree, then he awakened. But that day, I remember, I make this very strong resolution, that the pain was so severe until like The thought tell me, if you continue, you may paralyze. Your leg may paralyze. Because of my faith and my understanding, just his word came out, no? Body is body. Mind is mind. Mind never the body. Body never the mind. I believe him, no? I have faith in him, no? So I continue to endure and relax and silent. Then it flashes through. After that, I understand the whole thing. Then I saw, mind is mind, body is body. The two are different. That's how I discern through the nama rupa parachedanyana. Means the first insight knowledge is that understand mind is mind, body is body, body never the mind. Means the form and mind are two different things. But what is being taught in the book is different. He said the mind is a knowing element. The thing that the mind knows is the form, the rupa. Just like that. That is not the first jnana knowledge, the first insight knowledge. The one born of the direct seeing, the real insight, the transformation is, you can see the body and the mind, the awareness and the thing, the two are detached, completely detached. Then when it flashes off, the whole pain is completely gone. Then the whole brain up here, there is a flash of light. It's like shift of consciousness. Suddenly my awareness becomes so bright. Then my, so-called sensation, which I term pain, which was so severe, the whole thing vanished. Then I was so amazed. I said, what is all this? Then I become very brave. With that awareness that I have, I look down onto the leg where it's giving me the pain earlier on. I check. I saw all this so-called, without words, the pulling sensation and all that. That thing, that movement is still there. But I realize it's relaxed already, it flashes through already, it flows through already. Yeah. Then the more I relax, the better it becomes. The flow becomes like very natural. Then after that, from that day onward, I have no more problem with pain. I can sit for whatever length of time or how long. I know how to relax into it. Then I know how pain comes to be. Because when you attach and you react or stir your mind and label it as pain, it becomes a hindrance. That's how I came to know, and I relax into it, silent, accept it. Sensation is just a sensation. Then when I relax into it, the constriction gets released. Then everything goes back to normal. Then I was able to silence my mind to develop the sati within. The mind enters sati. Then everything becomes very quiet, very still. Then there is a type of pity inside. Then slowly it becomes tranquility, stillness. That's how after that, until today, I got no more problem with pain. So that was a fantastic release and experience. So all these pointers, if you listen attentively, it can help you when you have the faith. This is the thing that I want to add on to what Pocheng has shared, which is very good. Salute to you, Pocheng. Your sharing is very good too, together with Chin Hao.
Thank you, Ryan.
Salute to Bo Hong.
Thank you for all his participation and all the mini video that he came out recently.
The whole team that do it, they all should thank them. In fact, it will help individual progress because you learn a lot more deeply. So those who want to do it can contact Chin Hao. Chin Hao will help to arrange the short video. Because now all the video is with him, so he can actually help to send it to you. Then you listen, then you tell him which minute to which minute he can cut off for you.
Amitabha, Kayanamitas. Actually, if you go to the YouTube channel, any of the talks that you see there, if you find any portion resonates very strongly with you, that's a sign that probably it's a good idea to cut out that 1 or 2 minutes as a separate mini video. So if you have any moments like that, feel free to send us the YouTube. And then the start time and the end time, and then if you have a suggested title, send it to us as well. Then we will crop it out to be a mini video. Even if it's a repeated topic, if there has been similar mini videos like that, it's all right. Because once we send it out, it's a good reminder. Sometimes it's a refresher, and it will hit people at different moments in their life. And I think it's still a very good thing. Yeah. So feel free to come up with suggestions for me and Jin Hao, or just send to anyone in the group, Kayanamita group. Someone will pick it up from the WhatsApp. Thank you. Sadhu.
Okay, very good, Sadhu. So you all can understand what my daughter say. In our website, brotherteo.com, there's a YouTube section where all my whole video are there, long and short. You happen to be listening to any of this that interests you, you can just mark from start time how many minutes, then end time how many minutes, follow the whatever time inside the YouTube video, then they can crop it out, then you can give a title better still. Your title, don't worry, right or wrong, don't need to worry, they will send to me for editing and then I will confirm it. So hopefully this will encourage more Kayamita to go and help to do all this short video.